You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
So we are now 3 weeks into the year, right? 3 weeks and a bit. And there's this strange phenomenon that happens at the start or the end of every year, and it's called New Year's resolutions, right? I'm not sure if you subscribe to New Year's resolutions or not, but there's this thing where we come towards the end of the year and we start thinking about all the things that we've done this year and all the things that we would have liked to have done, all the things that we did that we wish we hadn't done. And we start thinking about 2020 or the year to come, and we start thinking about, how do I want to change my life? How do I want to do things differently? How do I want to work at things a bit better? And maybe 2019, you had bad spending habits, and you just go, I just want to get a handle on my finances. Or maybe it was lifestyle choices. Maybe it was late nights and things like that. Maybe it was like, maybe it's like physical goals, or maybe there's sort of eating habits that you're not particularly proud of that you sort of indulged in. Maybe I'm not speaking to anyone tonight, but maybe it's all of them, and you're just like, 2020, come at me. Like, I just need to repent of the whole last year and just start again. There's something about ticking into a new year and a fresh start that we set our gaze and we start to project and make resolutions. And I think the topic of New Year's resolutions are quite polarizing in the sense that some people love them, right? They live for these moments like I can't wait till the end of the year because then I'm going to make my resolutions and it's going to be fresh, it's going to be bright. Some people are like, forget it. Forget resolutions, they're a waste of time. Every time I set one, I break them, and what's the point? A study from the Journal of Clinical Psychology reveals that 2 weeks into the year, 29% of people have already quit their New Year's resolution. So, you know, we're 3 weeks in. At 4 weeks, 36, so just under 40% of people have already quit on their resolution. So I thought it would be a great time in the summer series to start thinking about resolutions and maybe getting a new perspective on resolutions, because obviously we're not really that good at making resolutions as people. And I think ultimately we're good at making resolutions, but we're not great at making long-term lifestyle changes. And so in another recent study on quick fixes, made by a highly reputable source, my Instagram account, I took to the masses and surveyed them, in what ways does our culture look for quick fixes instead of long-term solutions? There was a flood of responses, but I'll just share a couple. One of them was, one of the quick fixes was, I pump up my bike tire every time I ride because I don't want to fix the hole in the tire. I was like, hey, that's fair enough. Another one was food. They just responded food, capital letters. I was like, food, I guess, yeah. I mean, you have an argument with your wife, food. You have a bad day at work, food. Whatever. You have a car accident, food. I don't know. That sounds pretty grim. And I was like, oh yeah, this is great. And then I keep scrolling some more, and then next minute, one came up, self-medicating to avoid reality. I was like, oh wow, this person's gone in deep. It's like, yeah, I mean, they're not wrong, right? We often go to certain substances or things or behaviors to alleviate from or to escape from reality, whether that's social media, whether that's a certain lifestyle or friendship group, or maybe that's Netflix. We go to that. And it seems like we don't have a problem with making sort of short-term lifestyle changes. Maybe it's a boot camp or something like that, where it's like 2 to 8 weeks of just intense, focused activity on a certain thing, or a diet or something like that, and we make these huge changes. But at the end of whatever that is, we just tend to slip back into how we were, and the changes that we made over that intense period of time don't last. So I guess the question this evening, is how do we make lifestyle changes last, resolutions last? So from 2 Thessalonians 1:11 to 12, if you have your Bible, pull it out, get it up. We're going to have a look at two basic ideas. I want to have a look at a framework for thinking about resolutions, and I want us to have a look at a new strategy for keeping lasting resolutions, for making New Year's resolutions last. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. And before we read there, I just want to share a little bit of context into the passage for this evening. So Paul, in the letters to the Thessalonian church, Paul is addressing this group of Christians, which basically they had a horrible circumstance. There was a whole heap of suffering occurring in the church because of persecution. And as a result, false teaching came out of that, that situation, that it was the end times and Jesus was coming, and basically it's pointless to really strive to do anything because it's really not long now. Because obviously we can see that things have gotten so bad that God is going to end the world soon. As a result of that, Christians had this really poor work ethic or view of the future, the short-term future that is, in terms of, hey, why aspire to do anything? And so the work ethic of the Christians, circumstances lended Christians to basically have no desire to achieve or do anything. And so it's sort of into this context that Paul is writing these letters, and it's into this context that our passage, Paul prays in our passage for the church at Thessalonica. And so this is what Paul says. Read with me from verse 11. He says, "To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So first we're going to have a look at a new way of thinking, or a framework of thinking about New Year's resolutions. And I guess the question is inevitably, like with New Year's resolutions, is should we have them? Like, should we have New Year's resolutions? Or is that just a thing that we've sort of constructed in our culture? And so as I was studying for this sermon, I was looking at, like, what does it mean to make a resolution? And basically, to make a resolution is to make a firm decision or a commitment towards something. So a resolution is that. And so as you look throughout the pages of the Bible, you start to have a look at, are there people who do that? Is it instructed of us to make resolutions or things like that? And as I started reading, I found quite a few places where, yes, there's Christians and people that were making resolutions and instructing that. One of them is from Joshua 24:15, where Joshua says this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Or in other words, we will make a resolution to serve the Lord. Or David, speaking to Israel, he says in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19, he says, "Now set your mind and heart," or make a resolution, "to seek the Lord your God." And Paul says in Philippians 2, he says it this way. He says, "Work out," or make a resolution for, "your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works," or makes a resolution, "in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And our passage tonight, Paul is praying about the Thessalonian church, that our God may fulfill every resolve or every resolution for good. So I guess since Paul is praying for resolutions, because our passage clearly talks about it, and as you can see over and over and over again through Scripture that people are making resolves for good, I think it's inevitable to conclude that we should make resolutions. We should resolve to do good things in our life. That is something that we should do. Unlike the Thessalonian church who had given up, we shouldn't give up on our short-term futures, but make every moment count for the future. And so we're going to have a look at four essential ideas around resolutions before we get into the practical component. So the four essential ideas, the first one is that it is God's work. Our resolutions, it is God's work. Paul clearly states that our resolutions is that God may fulfill every resolve for good. So we can't fall into the trap of thinking that, okay, this is my resolution here, and this is God's action over here, and it's sort of like I'm just working away over here and God's working away over here, and our I guess we're separate. But the Bible regularly talks about how that we have died to ourselves and now we live in Christ, so that it's not us who are living, but it's Christ who is living through us. So in a sense that as we make resolutions, that it is actually God's work in us and working through us. It's not a separate, we're not separate entities, but we are one in Christ. So that is the first idea. The second idea is that it is through God's power that we make resolutions. And Paul says it like this: it's a work of faith by his power. This means that our approach to resolutions shouldn't be, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this, I don't got this, you know, as our resolutions go. But in other words, it should be, God's got this, God's got this, God's got this, God's got this. And I'm making this resolution knowing that I've probably failed in all my other ones, but I'm making it in faith that God would do something in my life through the resolution or the commitment or decision towards living for Him. By trusting God to fulfill the resolutions in faith, we rely on God to fulfill it. The third thing, and the third idea is that Paul then points to the goal of our resolutions. And that is, he says it this way, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him. And so as I was looking at this, I was like, actually, there's a sense that our resolutions, they glorify God, they glorify Jesus, but they also, we are also glorified in fulfilling them too. I don't know if you noticed that. It's that Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him. So I guess the question is, how does Jesus get the glory? Jesus gets the glory when we are faithful in His work and that He looks good. We get the glory when Jesus is faithful in us and this that we can see the fruit that Jesus has provided for us. And so one author says it this way, Jesus Christ is glorified by the faithful work that His people do for Him, and the church is glorified by the faithful work that Jesus Christ does by His grace in them. Which leads us to the fourth idea around making resolutions, which is that it's by God's grace that we make resolutions. Paul says that we are glorified according to God's grace. And the fact that we are able to do anything in this life is because God has allowed, God has been gracious towards us. The fact that we are here still is an act of God's grace. The fact that we live in Australia is an act of God's grace. The fact that we have the families and the great things currently is an act of God's grace. And so then when we start out that our resolutions is according to God's grace, then we start out thinking, okay, I'm not doing this resolution so that God would love me more or so that I could earn more favor with God, or if I live for Him like this, then He will bless me like this. And we have these sort of ideas that, you know, God is not gracious with us until we do good things, but it's actually, that's the foundation for and the way in which we enact our resolutions by God's grace. So should we make resolutions? We should. They are God's work in us, by God's power, through our faith, with the goal of God's glory, according to God's grace. And I just love the analogy that John Stott, one of the great thinkers, Christian thinkers, has with this whole idea of us being glorified and Jesus being glorified. And he puts it like this, that Jesus' glory is like current running through a power lead to a light bulb filament. And so as Jesus' glory comes through and we, being the filament, would shine, and then everyone can see that Jesus is glorified, or Jesus is glorious, and we also then share in the glory that Jesus has. Jesus is alone the source of his glory, and at his coming, his glorified people will display his fullest sense of glory. So I guess this framework for thinking about New Year's resolutions really hinge or revolve around two main questions. Why do we make resolutions, and how do we keep resolutions? We make resolutions for God's glory. That's why we do it. The result in our resolution should be that God is worshipped, that God looks good, that God is glorified, that God is praised. Statistically, the top resolutions, in no particular order, are improving fitness, having a healthier diet, saving more money, taking up a new hobby, improving mental well-being. Statistically, those are the five top resolutions. And maybe you've gone, tick, those are the ones that I have subscribed to. Those are some of the key ones. Maybe I've subscribed to all of those five top resolutions. Maybe you're a statistic. Maybe you're not. I'm not saying that these five things are bad things, but I'm definitely asking the question, what is the underlying motivation or driving force for making these resolutions? What is the thing that made you go, I want to improve my fitness? What is the thing that made you go, I want to have a healthier diet? Is it based on a comparison game with someone else, where you've seen someone else's Instagram photos and they're looking good and fit and healthy, and you're like, man, I just want to be like that, and my underlying motivation is, I want to look good like them? Or my underlying motivation is, I just am not feeling good about myself, and I want to make myself feel better by having a better, you know, lifestyle. Or maybe my underlying motivation is, I just want to be more comfortable, and I just want to, I guess, enjoy life more. And those things are not necessarily bad aspirations. They're not evil or anything like that. But is there a deeper motivation as a Christian that we go, my resolutions are for God's glory, that God would look good? Is it something that others would benefit from? I know for me, regular exercise is healthy for my mind, and others benefit from it. And that's a great thing. But are we attaching deeper meaning and motivation to our resolutions other than, I guess, the superficial, cultural, normative things that we often do? And then I guess the next question is, how do we keep resolutions? Is it just by sheer grit? Like just hanging in there and willpower and wishful thinking? Because oftentimes that's how resolutions are made. We're on holidays, we're having a great time, and it's like, yeah, I want to do this better, this better, this better, and I'm just going to try harder. And it just becomes this works-based treadmill where you're just trying and working the grind. Or is it something that you do with God? Is it something that you do by His power through faith, that you are actually applying faith to the situation and you're going, God, you know, would you do this in me? Would this be your work in me and through your power? And we can never underestimate God's power at work in us as we seek to glorify Him, that He works in us. It might not be instant, it might not be spectacular, it might not be amazing in the moment, but these small steps of faithfulness and obedience to God over the years, as you look back, you'll see that God has been doing some incredible change in your lives personally, and you can see the effects of that. I heard someone once say that we grossly estimate what we can do in the short term, and we hugely underestimate what we can achieve in the long term. And I think sometimes we have to keep coming back to, what I'm doing right now might not look amazing and see instant results, but are we faithful with the little to see that accumulate over the years? So I guess that's the framework, the thinking around resolutions. Now we're going to have a look at some strategies for making New Year's resolutions last. So in our passage, Paul talks about that God may fulfill every resolve for good, and that He would make us worthy, or make you worthy of His calling. To phrase it in another way, Paul is praying that God would make us walk consistent with our salvation. So in a sense that we've been made perfect, we've been made pure, we've been made holy through our calling. He's called us to Himself, and now He's asking us to walk consistently in line with our salvation. And so this idea of to walk is not a once-off opportunity, but it's a continual process where God is wanting to walk and work continuously in our lives. It's not just like, I'm going to save you now, and you're set up for life, and that's just a one-time payment. But it's this constant thing that God is keep working in our lives. And I believe that that's something that God wants to speak to maybe some of us tonight. That He is not a God that sort of just sets you up and provides you some salvation and you're now going to heaven, but He's now left you to figure out the rest of your life. That He won't finish what He started. That He's a God that's not a continual God constantly working in your life, but that He is a God that is working continuously in your life. And so I guess, I don't know if you are like me, but I'm not great with resolutions. Like, I know I don't trust myself. And up until this year, I was like anti-resolutions until I started thinking and my thoughts and my ideas around resolutions have changed. Because I'm just so bad at it. I don't know about you guys, but I have failed so many times in my resolutions. I've started something, but I didn't see it through to completion. On my dad's side of the family, we love to have a big family Christmas, like family Christmas meal, right? We love it, right? There's a roast and there's all these like toppings and spreads and it's like the best. On Kelsey's side of the family, they're like, they don't care much for the food component of the Christmas Day event. And it was always like, let's have some sandwiches. And it just rubbed me up the wrong way. It just made me feel dirty inside. Anyways, so after 5 years of marriage, I'm thinking, all right, we need to change something here. Like, not in my house. So basically what I did is, I said to Kels, next Christmas, I want a big Christmas dinner. And she looked at me and said, I'm cooking all year round, and it's a busy time of year. I'm not going to do it. I'll do sandwiches. And then I was like, okay, I want this Christmas dinner. I'm going to make it happen. So I said to her, Kelsey, I didn't say it in these words, but I make a resolution. I was like, I'm making a commitment that next Christmas dinner is going to be the best Christmas dinner that we've had as a married couple and as a family. So I set out, and my plan, because I don't really cook much, I thought I was a chef, but then I'm not. I decided, all right, I'm going to make this fancy meal once a month. And it's going to be, I actually put it like on social media, I call it Meals of the World. And I was going to cook a different cuisine each month that build up to this spectacular Christmas dinner. And so, started off with, we had this Greek, like, we had this nice lamb, and it's like Greek sort of kebab type thing. It was really delicious. It went really well. Then we had this like nice, like Vietnamese beef salad, and like that was really good. And then March came around, and there was no food. And I became a statistic. And to this day, Kelsey says, I'm still waiting for my Christmas dinner. And I don't know what to say. I was just like, obviously I didn't want it bad enough as I claimed at the start of the year. And maybe I was just trying to push Kelsey like with a game of chicken that maybe she would come around and do it. But I admitted defeat, and now we don't talk about Christmas dinner anymore. And that's just the way it is in our family. But maybe you're like me and you've made a resolution. You've made a commitment and you've sort of hit, like you've started strong and you've hit a lot of things well, but then, you know, come mid-year, come the end of the year, you look back and you go, nah, I didn't achieve anything that I was hoping to. Or maybe currently you're finding it difficult to hold on to the resolutions that you've had, like it's only 3 weeks in and you're finding it tough to commit to what you've committed to at the start of the year. So I just want to finish with 5 R's to consider when making God-glorifying resolutions that last. In other words, I want to put the R back in resolution. All right, so here we go. Firstly, when we're making resolutions, we want to make them realistically. There's a behavioral scientist called Michelle Seeger, and she does a lot of research around this whole idea of the motivation bubble. So when we make these big resolutions, we make them often in a motivation bubble. A motivation bubble might be the doctor has shared with you certain health news and you have to make some big life changes. And you're highly motivated because, you know, there's threat, there might be something that has happened. A motivation bubble might be you're on holidays, which oftentimes around the new year, it is holidays, and you're not in the normal flow of work, so you've got more motivation and time and energy, and you might go, okay, I'm really motivated now, I'm ready to go, and I'm going to make all these resolutions. Or a motivation bubble might look like this company has just released some new gadgets. Maybe there's some tech fans out here that is like, yes, this next gadget is going to slingshot me into a new era of fitness. And it's like, okay, I'm super motivated because I've got this new gadget, right? And so we have these sort of motivation bubbles. And then, but ultimately, she talks about how in these motivational bubbles, our resolutions or our goals are unrealistic and they don't keep up with the demands of our daily grind. Maybe there's sickness that happens in the family. Maybe there's certain things that happen. Maybe the demands on work and family increase, and there's certain things that you can't keep up. And then oftentimes we fall back and just feel deflated and feel defeated because we can't maintain the resolution we made because it was unrealistic. So we need to make them realistically. The second thing is that we need to make them regularly. This whole idea of a New Year's resolution is probably one of those things that we sort of save up all our resolutions to the end of the year, then we make a whole heap of them. Maybe there's 15 resolutions, and it's like, okay, this year, this 15 things I'm going to commit to. And we don't have the bandwidth to change 15 things all at once. So when we're thinking about making resolutions, we make them regularly. Any time that you feel God is stirring in your heart to make a change is a time where you could make a resolution. It could be a moment where it's like, okay, this particular lifestyle isn't wholesome. This is not good. All right, I'm going to make a resolution now in the midst of everything. Not, I'm going to wait until I have some moment to think about it and then I'll make a resolution, because oftentimes that won't work. Thirdly, we want to make resolutions reliantly. Resolutions, like I mentioned before, are an act of God through faith, and we want to be relying on God to enact resolutions through us. So that's where we want to be focused on prayer and coming to God with our resolutions, that God would do the work in us, that we are not striving to do the work ourselves. And Paul models this in our passage. Fourthly, we want to make resolutions religiously. By religiously, I mean with religion, there's a set routine and a set time and a place and an action that we do. And we want to make resolutions religiously. We don't want to just have these pipe dreams in the distance, but we want to have these tangible things that we do that we can actually achieve and create a rhythm and routine in. The author of Atomic Habits, James Clear, talks about that you do not rise to the level of your goals, but you fall to the level of your systems. So as you create a few systems around some of your resolutions, I want to encourage you to make small, achievable goals that would build up to that resolution. And then finally, I want to encourage you to make your resolutions relationally. Relationally in the sense that we are built for community as people. We are built to do life together. And resolutions by yourself, you can start them, stop them, start them, stop them. But when you have a resolution, you feel God has put on your heart, you know, maybe I want to change the way I'm talking, or maybe I want to change a particular part in my life, that is a moment where you might want to bring other people into that moment and say, hey, can I rely on you to call me up on this? Can I rely on you to work with me to see this happen? Maybe there's other people that want to achieve the same thing as you do, and you want to have that mutual support that you would continue to strive forward in your resolution and it doesn't just fizzle out. So we want to make our resolutions realistically. We want to make them regularly, reliantly, religiously, and relationally. There's this famous English revivalist preacher, theologian, thinker. I'm not going to share his quote or the resolutions that he did, but he had 70 resolutions that he revisited every week. And as I was reading his story, I was really inspired by just how intentional and diligent he was in striving to be everything God called him to be. And tonight, I'm not going to suggest that you would set up 70 resolutions and you know, work on all of them, but I do want to encourage you, if you've had a bad experience with making resolutions or resolves for good that God would want you to make, if you've had bad experience of failure, I want to encourage you tonight that this could be an opportunity where you can get back on the horse again, make those resolutions and commitments, and believe in faith that God would achieve them through you. So as we finish, I want to pray, and I would love it if you would pray with me, just that God would fulfill his purposes in our lives and that he would make resolutions in us. So Father,